Greetings, Couch Potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Maren Barr, and you're listening to the Idiot Boxers of the Fan podcast about television.
That's right. The definitive podcast about television, where we're not going to talk about television right away.
Well, no, but... No, well, how are you, first of all?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I sound like Spotlight now, where I just go, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right.
No, I've got a story to tell, rather, and then I caught up on a certain show that everyone's been telling me to catch up on.
Well, so, we should probably get through the contact information first.
Yes, we should.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We want to make sure we get all this information, this important information out
before
front.
Before so you leave.
Yeah, before you turn us off. You can go to fatguysinthemovies.com and get a hold of us. And, of course, we got all the shows. We got Spotlight. We got the new Nikita podcast.
Well, there's a new interview on there with the composer of Nikita.
Yep, and we got Fat Guys in the Movies, the original, the movie reviews, DVDs, all this fun stuff. You can go to iTunes, search Fat Guys at the Movies or Fat Guys Network or The Idiot Boxers, and one of those will make us show up at some point. You can email us at kevin@filmschoolrejects.com or meryl@merylbar.com. Our voicemail is 740-205-6456. You can get me on Twitter at twitter.com/kevincarr.
Get me on Twitter at twitter.com/sonic43. If I show on Twitter at twitter.com/theidiotboxers or facebook.com/idiotboxers, know the.
That is right. Boom.
So,
tell us about your story.
All right, well, here's what happened. I am going to be working, I guess I can say it now. I'm going to be working a PA job.
With the CIA.
I wasn't going to say anything until actually the shoot was impending.
Oh, okay.
So let me preface this following story by saying, when this story happened, I was wearing a gray T-shirt with no logo, baggy shorts, and black New Balance sneakers.
Okay? Basically, the standard Merrill Bar outfit in
right.
the summertime.
Right. The standard crew PA uniform. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm wearing. So I had a production meeting for this thing on West 54th Street in New York City. Now, for those that don't know, that then puts this building that I had to go to right on the edge of the theater district, where all the Broadway shows are and all the off-Broadway stuff are and where all the dance studios are and all the acting stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So I go into this building, and mind you, I mean, I work at Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm not skinny by any stretch, but...
That's a requirement. You have to be fat.
Right, I'm not...
If you're skinny, we kick you out. You can guest host, but that's it. You got to go leave.
Right, I mean, I'm not... So I'm not fat. I mean, I'm a little overweight, but I'm not fat. I'm not horrible. You know what I'm saying?
I'm basically like Kevin.
What?
I'm not like Kevin.
I'm trying not to say that.
I'm not a big fat slob.
I'm basically like every other red-blooded American male. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I go to New York.
Except for the skinny ones.
New York City. I go into the building. And
for the record, I want to say this. I want to say, for the record, you are not... You're not really fat. You do look kind of average.
Mm-hmm.
You blend in.
So I get into the building. I go to the elevator. I push the button. I'm standing. My headphones on. This dude taps me on the shoulder. Now this dude, for anyone that's seen Smash, he looks like he got plucked out of that show. He was in the full on solid color tank top, sweatpants, carrying a gym bag, white sneakers. Clearly a dancer. Mm-hmm. You know, is his profession. And he taps me on the shoulder, and he looks at me, and he goes, you should really think about it. And he's like Jamaican or something, so I'm not going to do his accent.
I was about to say, that didn't sound like a Jamaican accent.
He's like
this
really huge Jamaican guy with a Jamaican accent. Like, he looks very fit. He's tall, way taller than me. And he goes, you should really think about losing some weight. You're young, man. You're 10 years, you won't be able to walk. You should really stop. You know, you're expanding outwards. You don't want to be expanding outwards. You should really think about losing some weight. Fuck you.
You need to learn to shut your ass.
I said nothing. Okay, but this is where it gets bad. I said nothing, and we got on the elevator, and he kept talking and kept going and kept going. Now, luckily, he hit fifth floor. I was going up to 12. So I just kept saying nothing. He got off. And I gotta say...
Did you say to him, why are you taking the fucking elevator up five floors?
Well, that's what I should have said. I'm getting to that. My point is, I regret saying nothing, because where does this dude get off? Because this is the thing, he's a dancer, so you know that he's on this really awful diet, probably some juice cleanse or something, trying to maintain his figure, because in 10 years, because he's dancing all the time, his knees are going to give out when he's 35.
Well, so but the other, here's the other thing with dancers. They don't actually have to eat little. They dancers, if you're a dancer, you're, especially if you're dancing on Broadway or if you're dancing in the theater, if you're dancing in a show, you burn enough calories dancing. Mm-hmm. You watch television and podcast and do all this other stuff, which requires you to do no movement whatsoever.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's just, it's not that he's in good shape because he means to. It's an element of the job that happens.
Right. But what got me is the comment, you're not going to be able to walk in 10 years. Do you know what your profession is like in 10 years from the time from where you are? Motherfucker, your knees will give out, his ankles will give out. He won't be able to walk, and he's at risk of injury every fucking day.
Every day, which is why he was probably taking the elevator.
Right, and so
lazy son of a bitch.
I just, where does someone like that get off? Like, first of all, haven't we kind of established that the social cue is you never ever get to tell anyone they should do this or not look like X? Don't we kind of, to a stranger, to a complete stranger?
That's not true. I mean, it's a politeness thing. But first of all, I love how you're saying, where does he get off? How dare this New Yorker be rude to me?
No, but it wasn't even on the streets. We're in a building, and we're going in an elevator, and I clearly look like I'm in that building for one of two possible things. And any logical person would think only one of those. I'm either there for a crew job, because I was dressed in the crew outfit, or I'm there for an audition, because auditions are held in that building as well. Now, any logical person would look at me and immediately think crew, because I have the crew look. I just do.
You're chubby, because guess what? Most people on a crew, whether it's stagehands or in an actual set, they're fat.
How do you get to the conclusion that you just think it's okay to say that shit to me?
Some people do that, man. It's sort of like being on Facebook, and I get irritated with people like this when they start posting stuff on Facebook about like, oh, you should eat this, you should have a whole food diet, and you should have this, and you should have this, and you shouldn't eat this, and don't eat this. And I'm like,
are you saying that where people are just posting that, or they're posting it to other people?
They're posting it on their page. Right. So they're not if somebody posted that on my page, I'd fucking delete and block.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you were in my shoes at that moment, what would you have done?
First of all, I would have been like that. I probably would have just nodded and smiled. And because if somebody's going to be stupid enough to come up and say that to you, there's no convincing them, because they're so egocentric that they don't understand that what they're going to say to somebody is offensive or
mean or stupid. You wouldn't have said anything either. Like, you would have done exactly what I did.
I would have been like, well, okay. I would have let him talk, because it's an elevator ride. And I would have let it go, because what am I going to get in a fight with a guy? I mean,
exactly. I feel like I handled it well, but I feel bad for handling it the way you're supposed to handle it, which is just ignore the dude and let him ramble on like an asshole until he gets off the elevator. But I feel bad. I was like, I really wish I had just set this guy in his place and just ripped him a new one until he got off the elevator.
There's nothing you can say to somebody like that. I mean, there's nothing you can say. You just have to be content in the fact that that person has to live as that person for the rest of their life and be a horrible human being and just be that asshole. Mm-hmm. And that's their punishment. That's their karmic punishment. But this is the thing. He could also just be naturally thin. There are people who are just naturally thin, or especially at that age. Wait till he gets to be 40 and his metabolism slows down and he stops dancing for whatever reason. His ass is going to open up like a parachute. He's going to be like 800 pounds. But see, some people just naturally don't. If for somebody like me, I'm fat. I've been fat all my life. Do I have a problem with food? Yes, which is one of the reasons why I don't do drugs. Because look at how I am.
One of the reasons. It will kill you.
One of the reasons. But this is why I don't smoke pot or never have. Why in the world would I want to take a drug that makes me want to eat and not do anything? That is the last thing I need in my life. Yeah. And look how I handle food. Obviously, I do not have the control I should have with food. Why would I want to introduce drugs into my life? You know, I mean, because then what if I have the same problem with that I do with food? You know, so it's, you know, and so I obviously, but I recognize that I have, I don't exercise as much. I eat more than I should. And I was once talking, I was once at one of my stints where I actually try and go to a gym, and I was talking with a friend of mine who's a personal trainer there.
Right.
And he's a real nice guy. And I made some comment about how I was cooking something, and it was really good, because I'm a pretty good cook, obviously, because I'm fat. You know? And so I was saying, oh, I made this, and I said, it was, you know, I ate too much. I got seconds when I really shouldn't have. He goes, well, and he just said to me, blank stare, like, well, why didn't you just only have one serving? And I just look at him, and I go, you've never been fat, have you? He's like, whoa, well, when I was in college, I gained some. I go, how much? How much were you overweight? Well, I was like 20 pounds overweight. I go, that's a no, then. Because you've never been fat. If you've just been 20 pounds overweight at some point in your life,
yeah.
That just means you weren't as fit as you could be. Don't talk to me like that. It's like, it would be like walking, to tell somebody.
It's like going to a crack addict. Why it's just saying, why don't you just not do crack?
Or not even that extreme. Go to somebody who's an alcoholic, who's like, I'm going to AA meetings. Well, why don't you just stop drinking? That's the most offensive thing you can say to an alcoholic, because they're like, look, it's not that easy. It's maybe easy for you. I know you don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for you to not drink. Mm-hmm. But if you're an alcoholic and you've got that dependency and you have that kind of personality and your brain's wired that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just you lost the lottery of life on that one.
Right. Like I know I shouldn't eat. It's not even that I eat a lot, because I don't eat a lot, but I eat certain things that I shouldn't be eating.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm trying to come back on. But for me, it's more of I'm not moving half the time, just by nature of what I do for a living.
Yeah.
So it's like, so I don't get it most. The Sklar, and you know, it's just, I can relate this back to TV. The Sklar brothers on that show, United States of America, just did this whole episode on why we are no longer the tallest nation in America, tallest nation in the world, where we used to be. And it's because we started expanding out. We started expanding out because we went to offices and we stopped moving around as much. We weren't on farms anymore. We were in air conditioned offices. We don't move, and we're not burning the calories we used to burn, but we're eating just as much, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's just the way the world is. The world's, you know, I love one of the things in terms of the health and stuff like that is, you know, as even though Americans have gotten more obese, healthcare has gotten better. So you have these conflicting messages where they're like, oh my gosh, we're the fattest we've ever been, and we're so many problems. We got all these weight related problems, yet we're the oldest we've ever been too. I mean, so you're like, okay, that's true, but it's kind of hard to convince somebody. To say, you know, not to eat when you have all these medicine, you can do a quadruple bypass if you want. Nobody really wants to have that done. But, you know, 100 years ago, if you had a heart attack, fuck it, you were done.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. 100 years ago, if you got diabetes, you probably died in your 40s because you couldn't manage it. You didn't have insulin.
Right.
You didn't have it. So there's a lot of stuff, you know, the heart disease was so much more traumatic back then. And, you know, that's like complaining that we have... you know, oh my gosh, we have people cite health-wise the infant mortality rate in America, which there's reasons for that, but we also have an enormous, we're still growing as a population, so obviously as a country we don't have trouble kicking kids out of our vaginas. Not my vagina.
Well,
I keep that on a shelf.
I only
pull it out.
I'm not touching that one, and by that I do mean your vagina.
I hope you're not going to touch my vagina.
Well,
wash your hands.
I mean, I have to probably booze you up first. Probably, you know, at least wine and dine you at the very least. Probably take you to a movie.
Sure.
This is not getting into, isn't that going well? How was your week?
You thought this through way too well. I've been busy the last couple of weeks simply because my sister got married this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 2 years older than I am. So, I mean, she's not old, but she was 42. I mean, she is 42.
Right.
And... that's traditionally a little old for your first marriage. Most people get married in their 20s or in their 30s. Usually by 35, you're married or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, she took a little bit longer to find somebody, and he's a nice guy. I mean, it's funny because he's just like my dad, and it's interesting to watch him because he has certain mannerisms that are like my dad, and there's nothing wrong with falling for somebody who's like your parents, if your parents are good people,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I mean, people are like, oh, you got this like Oedipus complex or this Electra complex. And I'm like, well, you know what? There's a lot of similarities between my wife and my mom,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean I want to bang my mom.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that my mom had some very good qualities that I look for in somebody. And, It's when you fall for your... If your dad's like a drunken rapist, mm-hmm. you don't want to fall for that kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and don't worry. My new brother-in-law is not a drunken rapist.
That you know of.
That I know. You know, or he got his record expunged
or something. So how was the wedding?
The wedding was good. I mean, it was funny because I had to... It was a huge song and dance because I was in it. I was a groomsman. My wife was a bridesmaid.
Mm-hmm.
Would they be called matrons? Would they be called bride matrons?
You're asking the single dude in his 20s?
Well, because maid means unmarried. So bridesmaids, I don't know. Anyways, and my sons were all involved because my sister's a crazy dog person. So she had her best dog. And so my son Liam.
She didn't.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, this is a bit. It's happened. And Liam walked
were there,
in.
Was this in a sitcom? Did Bill Lawrence write this script?
No, it was in. It was real, real true. And fortunately, Preston was good. He didn't pee on anybody or anything.
That you know of.
Liam had to watch him. So Liam walked him. My oldest Liam walked him down the aisle. And my middle son, Ben, was a reader. And my youngest son, who's 4, was the ring bearer. So it was very cute. And so we had all of us dressed up in tuxedos and, you know, the 4 of us dressed in tuxedos, my wife and her. It was actually a nice bridesmaid dress. Mm-hmm. So, but like, and this is the thing, if you ever get married, if the stars align in this bizarre way and you ever get married, you'll realize this. Everybody's family's just insane. Everybody's family's fucking nuts. But your family, you grew up with that. So all the insanity that you feel from your family that somebody else would recognize as stupid and insane and crazy, you're used to it because you grew up with it. For example, my parents, our shower head was broken in our bathroom, mm-hmm. so we always took baths. Mm-hmm. It's just the way we grew up. And so whenever like we had somebody stay over, it was really odd to tell them you had to only take a bath. Well, it's just that my parents never fixed the damn shower head or there was a leak or something. For whatever reason, we couldn't take a shower. That's totally normal for us. It seems very odd to another family because most people take showers. So my brother-in-law's family is they've got some weirdness going on in there. But like this best man was his brother. I can say this because I'm pretty sure that nobody in my family listens to this podcast. and he was the biggest idiot. I mean, he didn't shave for his wet. He didn't actually shave. And I'm not saying like me where I've got a beard and I didn't trim the beard. No, I'm just saying he like maybe shaved a week and a half ago and didn't bother to shave for the wedding.
Mm.
Which I'm just like, what the fuck, man? I mean, sure, ostensibly, the only time this guy's going to get married.
Is this the first time you've met that guy?
I met him at the rehearsal.
Okay.
So he didn't shave. And then he was whining and bitching and moaning nonstop about wearing a tuxedo. Here's the deal. If you're in a wedding, you wear a tuxedo. If it's any sort of traditional wedding, you wear a tuxedo. I mean, maybe if it's on a beach or whatever. But no, if everyone's buying renting tuxedo, you wear the tuxedo. You just know you wear – that's what you do at a wedding. And this guy, he's heavy. So he was complaining. I mean, acting like the guy's, I guess he's in his like 30s or 40s, but he was like pretending to be sick. Oh, I don't feel good. It was because he was wearing a tuxedo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's
to be fair, I hate wearing dressing up too for shit, but I don't complain about it.
But you suck it up and do it if it's a wedding. And then he was complaining because he wanted, and literally up there at the altar, fucking pants fell down.
No.
Pants fell down.
Are we talking like full on boxers in display, bare legs?
I didn't see it because there was another guy next to me, so I didn't see it. But apparently my wife and another of the bridesmaids saw it, and he got it. And earlier he was complaining about the pants not fitting. I go, well, why didn't you get suspenders? He's like, oh, I can't wear suspenders. I'm like, no, you just don't want to wear suspenders. I literally had to fix his tie and stuff like for my children. My 4-year-old was more competent in getting a tuxedo on than this guy was.
Okay, and again, stood again, still better. Are we sure Bill Lawrence didn't write this wedding script?
Oh God, it was ridiculous. And then on top of this, he didn't give a best man speech.
Oh God.
He just refused to give a best. He didn't want to get up there and talk. And I'm here thinking, I know it's your brother and there's tradition and usually you, but why'd you choose him as your best man? You had a friend who was another one, this guy who was a good friend of his, who was very gregarious and could have handled the speech. Why don't you make him your best man?
I guarantee you he didn't want him as his best man. His parents made him do it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was his parents who made him do it, yeah. But the whole thing is, so the guy shows up at the reception, and he's his shirt tails hanging out. So when we're walking into the reception to go sit down for that, he literally looked like he fell. He looked like a homeless man that found a tuxedo and put it on. Then he goes, the second he walks in, he goes in the back and changes into sweatpants.
Oh.
Now they were nice sweatpants, but
don't even wear sweatpants, and I am the most disheveled person when it comes to clothing.
Oh, it was ridiculous. He had like sweatpants and like a white polo shirt on. He looked
God damn it.
So on top of this, so then this whole thing. So then what happens is my sister's maid of honor goes up to give because he wasn't going to do it. And traditionally it's just the best man that gives a speech. But nowadays, traditions are bending a lot now. The maid of honor will oftentimes give a speech, you know, mm-hmm. for equality's sake. And so April, the maid of honor, she gets up there, she gives a speech. She's kind of like, and she gives her a little speech. And it was a nice little speech, you know, very standard wedding speech. And then the DJ then takes the mic and she's like, okay, is there anybody else who wants to speak? Because it was kind of like really awkward to not have a groomsman say anything. And so then my 8-year-old son, Ben, stands up. And he's like, and they go, he wants it. She gives him the mic. And I'll go pull a picture of this because I have a picture of him giving. I wish to God I had been able to get it.
You have an iPhone. Why was this not recorded?
It couldn't. And I didn't know what he was going to say. And then by the time I thought about it, I was halfway over. And I wanted to hear. He ad-libs the most poignant, best speech I've ever heard, just talking about how beautiful it was that they're together and what a beautiful ceremony. 8 years old.
God,
and he's holding, in one hand he's got the microphone, in the other hand he's got his cup of sparkling grape juice for the toast. And the picture, you'll see the picture, what I said, he looks completely at ease, like he's just and he just riffed off this, and I mean people were in tears. It was the most high about shit.
Coming soon from the Fat Guys Network, Ben Carr, the 8-year-old boy of wonder weddings.
Oh my God, 8 years old. And like my mom was just bawling during this speech. Because I mean, it was so honest and from the heart.
Eight. What does he know of heart and soul and love?
Apparently more than this guy who's literally 4 or 5 times his age.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, it was hilarious.
It's a sitcom. Please write the script. Or let me do it.
Oh my God, it was an amazing little thing that happened. So,
God.
So that was my weekend. So that was really weird. It's weird when people in their 40s get married for the first wedding, because you don't do the big wedding if it's your second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when people in their 40s get married, it's a little odd because. Like they didn't throw the bouquet and garter because most of their friends are married,
right?
You know, so.
And also, I imagine there'd be a lot of hip injuries and back injuries.
Well, it would be all like the kids, like my sons would have ended up with the garter, and somebody else.
Single ladies, what's up?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so that was the wedding. It was an interesting, but we're done, and I'm like, whew, now my summer can start.
It's June now, so summer warm weather's kicking out. It was raining a bit though, so but now the sun's coming.
Well,
back
that
out,
that
so
happens. Will be good.
So what?
No, I just hate weddings. I don't, because they're just big expense.
I have yet to in my adult life go to a wedding. I've been to one. I went to one when I was 30. I think the last one I went to was I was 12 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in that other world where no one I know is getting married yet. I think I have one friend who's engaged, and I don't know when their wedding is, and I don't really
usually care. All your weddings start like right around 25.
Mm-hmm.
You have this big burst at 25, and then you have this big burst in like 5 years later, and then nothing, and then you start getting the next generation in.
Right. Gotcha. So switching gears, did you see Prometheus?
Yes, I did.
I don't know the answer to that question. I didn't listen to Fat Guys at the Movies.
did you not see the Prometheus review on the Fat Guys Saturday Network? Yeah. No, I did see Prometheus. I really did enjoy it, too. You saw it?
Oh, my God, dude. I can't believe how much I like this movie. And I went into this, mind you, again, here's the deal. I'm not that big on the whole Alien franchise. I've seen Aliens. Those are clearly the best of the series. But they don't leave me like, oh my God, that was amazing. Like, they leave me like, that was a very good movie, but I don't have anything else to say beyond that. Yeah. You know, because I came out, first one 79, second one, 85, 86, I think. Am I off on that? It's like, whatever.
Second was 86. It's 79, 86, 93, and 97, I believe.
Okay, so, yeah, so I don't really have much of a connection to it. That's one. Two is I'm not big on cute, really deep sci-fi. That's two. Three is Ridley Scott has been really lame lately in his work, so that's four. Or I'm losing count anyway. But everything going against this movie, and I don't like 3D, etc. I come out of this movie, it is my second favorite, as of now, second favorite of the year, right behind Avengers. It just barely missed topping Avengers for me.
Yeah.
And I took to Twitter afterwards, and this I started taking so much shit because apparently in our, even though it's got a really nice positive rating on Rotten Tomatoes, people just were losing their shit over this movie in a bad way. People were just so angry about it. And then,
I'm sending you the picture of Ben, by the way.
I'm saving it right now, and I'm opening it as we're talking. But, you know, people went crazy. So I started spewing my love for the movie. I was saying it's my favorite of the franchise. And people got on Twitter and started jumping my shit. How can you say, like, I had one to go, how can you say that this early? It's like, because, fuck, it's the only one that ever left me truly moved by the end. Unlike every
Wait,
other.
Why is somebody questioning how you can say this? What do you mean this early?
Oh, my God, that's adorable. And he's got a little drink cup like he's holding a glass of wine.
Yeah,
doesn't
he look completely natural? He's like, oh, whatever, just off the cuff.
Oh, God.
So, I'm sorry. Diversion. Anyway, so they're...
So they're jumping my shit for that. Then I had
Wait. I don't understand the how can... I don't understand the criticism of how can you like it this early.
Neither do I.
How can you say... I mean, well, you've... And then, in fact, this is late in the game. I mean, to sit there and declare Alien the best of the franchise in 1980 would have been a little early.
Yeah. but that happened. Then I had someone else go... Or maybe it was the same person. I don't remember for sure. Someone goes, it's just Mission to Mars with the Barry TP. Have you not seen Mission to Mars? Like, no. Mission to Mars was 11 when I came out. And no one has told me I need to see that movie.
Well, first of all, Mission to Mars is a piece of shit.
There you go. But people, and here's my defense for that criticism is, that's movies. Fucking everything pulls from everything. That's art. That's pretty much how it works.
That's one of the things that irritated me about people with Prometheus is I saw a lot of people going, well, it's a lot of these concepts we've seen before. And I'm like, oh, really? You're the same people who completely jizzed all over Inception.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not have a shred of originality in it.
Exactly. So that pissed me off. And then I got it. Then, you know, so I left the conversation for the most part.
For the record, I like both Inception and Prometheus.
But all right. And again, with you. I mean, Inception I've soured on. But so the more time I spend away from Prometheus, the more I dig it. Yeah. As opposed to Inception where... Like, even just a couple days later, I started to be like, that didn't work. It's a fine movie. I'm sure I'd again enjoy it again.
It's a good movie to watch, but it's not...
It doesn't stick with you.
It's not this, like, fantastic film.
Right. So, all right. So, I leave the conversation. I go record Spotlight with Hash a day later. Mm-hmm. And we get into a really... And go listen to that. It's very good. It's much longer than our normal episode. It's an hour long as opposed to our normal half hour or so. And we get into it deep. And one of the conclusions we draw... is the liking of Prometheus or the hating of Prometheus might have something to do, might, not saying it does, but might have something to do with generationally, where okay. the people who saw Alien and grew up on Alien, and, you know, when Alien was made, it was made in a time where sex was a huge thing, sex was a big deal, rape and kidnapping, shit like that, just dark shit was a big deal in the 70s.
It was at the time of the video nasties.
Right. So, and it was, the slasher genre and all that stuff. So someone said, let's do a slasher genre.
Yeah, the slasher genre just started at that time. I wouldn't say, yeah, slasher genre.
Okay.
1978 no. with Halloween, and then it wasn't until 1980 that Friday the 13th. So
fair enough.
Yeah, so it overlaps, but I don't even think the development overlapped.
Fair enough. So, but anyway, so those people grew up on that. So then when you the themes of Alien really spoke to the generation that watched it in the theater. Mm-hmm. And Prometheus has a lot to do with, above everything else, parental rejection. And that's like, and parental failure.
Okay.
And that is a huge social issue right now. Left and right, you're hearing news stories about parents who neglect their kids and who are failures at raising their children and don't get, just, you know, just screw up completely. That's why we had that movie, the Kevin, we talked about Kevin movie. Was such a big deal last year for reasons like that, and school shootings, and are the parents to blame, and bully, and all that shit. So Prometheus kind of plays to that, among other things, like the technology aspect and the search for God and all that stuff. Like, that's universal. But the main idea behind Prometheus is something that speaks to my generation. So, of course, I would like it more than the guy who likes Alien, but the people who like, who grew up on Alien, are flipping out the people who love Prometheus now. And I think that's bullshit. Just let me have it, you know?
Well, I think it's more of... I see where you're definitely coming from. But here's the thing. Alien itself wasn't... The only thing that was original about Alien was its location. Mm-hmm. And even then, the original Alien is derivative of a bunch of other movies that were made in the 60s and the 50s of monsters on... I just saw a movie called The Green Slime at the Horror Marathon. Or the Sci-Fi Marathon a couple weeks ago. And The Green Slime was in the 60s, I think. It's about an alien that escapes on a ship and starts killing people. That's really, I mean, that's all. I mean, it's a very different film, but the concept of it's a monster movie. That's all it is. There's nothing inherently original about Alien. It's the execution and the atmosphere.
Same with
and
Prometheus. Yes, it's the execution. Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, is to sit there and say that it's that Alien is original and Prometheus isn't, that's a vacuous argument. It's just plain not true. I mean, it's an original creature design, and I think it was in being in the 70s, you're right, in the sense that with the video nasties and sex being such a big thing, and H.R. Giger's design is, everything's vaginas and penises in that entire thing. Mm-hmm. That's all that is vaginas and penises. I mean, even the raping of the mouth and the thing bursting out, and the mouth stabbing, you know, I mean, it's penetration. And so it was probably the most blatant yet artfully done version of that.
Right.
So it was a first in that sense, but that's not what makes Alien great. What makes Alien great is its delivery.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a delivery that really spoke to the people who saw it back then. Like, it was kind of like at the height of the whole prosthetics and puppetry and that whole thing. Alien plays huge into that.
Yeah. And in Prometheus, it's the same thing. What makes Prometheus a great movie isn't this concept or that concept. It's how it's done, how it's executed. And what irritates me about the... Look, if you don't like Prometheus, that's fine. You don't like the movie. It's a free country. But if somebody likes it, then don't argue with them over whether it's good or... I mean, there are some people... I have... It's been a long time. I haven't seen this sort of just overt people pissed off that people like a movie since... Even the Star Wars prequels, people are kind of behind them when they first came out. And then afterward, then a couple years later, it became chic to hate on them.
Right.
And
it's not like Michael Bay movie where it's chic to hate on people who like Michael Bay.
Well, but then because Michael Bay's kind of he's an easy target,
right? You know? or movies like that, Michael Bay, Roland Emmerich,
or like Twilight. I mean, there are people that are really pissed off that Twilight's a phenomenon, but what the hell do you expect? It's a bunch of teenage girls. It's emotional pornography. It connects with the female psyche, all that kind
of
thing.
But it's more
and you may hate it.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying you may hate it, but. You know, this one, it's just like there are people out there that I think were predisposed to not like Alien, or part of it was, and this is part of the reason why I avoided any sort of marketing on it, is people go into movies with preconceived notions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they meet those, but there was no way that the people that were diehard fans who loved it, who it's their favorite movie of all time, or favorite horror movie, or favorite sci-fi movie, if you want to split it up in the genres, There's no way to go watch Alien or go watch Prometheus and not come in with preconceived notions. You have to just kind of go in and say, okay, this is what, and be okay with it. Because I've read some of the negative reviews, and not to get on my colleague's case, but I think some of the reviews, I'm kind of like, my biggest thing whenever I read a negative review is I'm like, well, what the fuck were you expecting? Did you just want another Alien movie?
That's, yeah, and like I remember. The lights went up in my theater, and one dude in front of me, like, has to be, like, around your age, goes, I liked Alien. This was a piece of garbage. It's not a fucking Alien movie.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's not a horror movie. It has horrifying elements to it, but it's... I mean, it is a horror movie
Hash said, put it best, he said, there's a lot of disturbing elements.
Yeah.
And disturbing in that way that it's not like Saw or Hostel, where, I mean, it gets a little graphic at times, but overall, it's not the most graphic R-rated movie I've ever seen.
It's a slow burn, man. Yeah. It really, really is.
Yeah, and it hits you. It hits you hard. But also, the other thing people I see complaining are, well, it raises all these questions and doesn't answer any of them. Fuck, you know what? You complain when you get the answers, like in the Matrix sequels, and then you complain when you don't get the answers. Well, it's like they answered anything that needed to be answered, got answered.
Here's a big revelation to you. Alien did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Alien introduces a lot of stuff that they don't explain,
right?
And that's part of the beauty of it, and that's part of the beauty of Prometheus. And I said this. I did a podcast with Rudy Abias on Shock Is Movie Night, and we talked about in depth about Prometheus. You should go listen to it if you want to hear sort of two people who love the movie talk about it in depth and spoilery and end to end kind of stuff. But I said, Ridley Scott never does the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. And when the second he did this, you should have guessed that he would do something different. He wasn't just going to do another Alien movie. He was going to go down different paths. He was going to expand the universe. He was going to become esoteric and smart about it and raise questions and not answer certain things. And there's going to be ambiguity, and that's fun. And you either accept it or you don't. But fine, you don't like the movie, but don't bitch at people who like the movie.
Yeah, that's dumb.
That's what pisses
me off the most is anything I write on Twitter, especially anything I write on Twitter about it, people just will jump my shit for it. And and some people are like, you don't mean that. You're just saying that for attention. I fucking really like this movie. Yeah. And I'm saying that as someone who went in, and maybe it's because I went in not thinking, having not only no expectations, but a expectation of this is going to be I'm going to hate this. I was only seeing it.
The truth is,
not even that it's trending, I had to talk about it on Spotlight. That was really the only reason I was seeing it. Other than that, I would have had no interest in Hash, but Hash was the one lauding over it.
Yeah. But see, and, for me, like when it comes to... like one movie that seemed to have gotten a lot of praise that I did not like this year was Chronicle. I hated Chronicle.
Mm-hmm.
And people, so I bitched about it after I saw it a bit, and people were like, well, I didn't. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. I didn't see that as a. And I usually, if it's completely ludicrous to go back and forth and go, well, no, I liked it. No, you, I hated it. No, I liked it. No, I hated it. I'm like, that's where Twitter arguments devolve to. Mm-hmm. And so I say my piece, and the person says their piece, and I'm like, well, we're just going to have to disagree on that. And people don't like to let it go. And there are people that are just, there are people, some people seem more pissed off that some people like the movie than they are at the movie itself.
Yeah, and that's the part
and that's
I don't
just
get.
Dumb. It's grow the fuck up.
A lot. I keep interrupting you, and I'm very
sorry. No, that's fine. That's fine.
And I look at this, normally the debate is over people loving movie X, and by the way, when we're saying all this, we're referring strictly to the critical community.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody else has their own, that's a whole other bag.
But most people went and saw Prometheus, they saw Prometheus, they liked it, and they did it, and then they went to dinner, and then they did their own shit for the rest of their days. They're not going to think twice about this movie.
Right.
It's only people like us
right.
in our community.
But normally the debates are over, everyone likes this, except a select few people, and then those select few people sometimes get into it, but for the most part are left alone because they don't like it. But normally, I don't usually see the debate go, you fucking like this, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What the you, so, be happy I like a movie.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Well, what's funny is when I wrote my review and I put it up, and I linked it out on Rotten Tomatoes. And my pull quote was basically, I describe it as, It's like 2001 with teeth and less psychedelic drugs. It was one of my pulp quotes. And it's, I always find it interesting to read the comics. I never respond to Rotten Tomatoes contest comments because that's a losing battle.
Yes.
Because people just, I mean, because they'll
people
just go,
sexist,
I don't have
sexist, racist, stupid.
And I don't have the time for that. So, and there was apparently one guy on there who started posted this thing, and apparently he copied and pasted the same thing on every single person who gave a positive review, which is a lot. 70-some percent of the reviewers. So it was just, he was complaining about it, and that was dumb. And then one person's like, jumped my shit because I called, because I implied that, or I said that, well, I implied that there's that it was, the 2001 was a psychedelic drug movie.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, 20 minutes it is.
Well, I mean, it is. But and I'm not saying that there are, but there's, yeah, the Stargate sequence in 2000, that is about as psychedelic as you get. And it was made in 1968 or 69, whenever that was, so height of that. And on top of it, there were plenty of, like in the theater at Times Square, they had reports of people going in and dropping acid during that scene and sitting in the front row or even laying in like the orchestra pit area. Mm-hmm. So it is a psychedelic movie. I mean, because it's very somber and serious, and then suddenly it just goes completely batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets very esoteric and symbolic and that sort of thing, which was also a sign of that sort of psychedelic time where it just plays this thing out and doesn't explain it. So somebody jumped my shit on my, and then somebody went in and listed all these movies. I mean, like we're talking like two dozen movies that I liked more than, and he listed a bunch of other movies. Like he liked Yogi Bear and Alvin and the Chipmunks, and he just lists a whole bunch of movies more than The Fighter, Tree of Life, Melancholia, and Chronicle. And I'm like, well, I did, because those movies I didn't like. What are you gonna do? And that's the thing. Every single critic, I don't care what critic it is, every critic likes shitty movies, yeah, and hates movies that people tend to like or have been heralded as. You're always going to find somebody who likes or dislikes something off the beaten path. So
I want to end on this point is, mm, the shit that I took for liking Prometheus, mm, this weekend is the kind of stuff I expect from IMDb commenters, from Rotten Tomato commenters, from regular commenters on websites. I do not expect these from my colleagues in, yeah, the critical community. I just don't. The certain behaviors, and some of the tweets came off very angry. And whether they did, whether that was meant to happen or not, they come off very angry. And I don't.
Well, you got to remember that some of the people in our critical community are really just
angry.
Just angry people who. Who just want to lash out and aren't very mature about it, so.
All right. You ready to move on to the next segment?
Yeah, let's move on.
And welcome back to the Idiot Boxers. We are now in our Idiot Buzz segment.
Is this your thing doing?
I don't know what my thing.
Did you do that for that segment last time?
No, the
was it the DVD? I don't know.
Because I know we were talking. I figured it out, but then I forgot again.
You're trying to do the Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
Yeah.
It sounds like you just like you got. You're like yawning. Like the
no. My secret, my covert way of hiding yawns, yes. It's a masterful trick. It's a family secret, actually.
Oh, okay.
news. First up, Starz is going to conclude Spartacus after its upcoming third season, which makes sense considering the show has just had such a myriad of production problems with the unfortunate death of their lead and Andy. Yeah. I forgot his full name. It's Andy something.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch Spartacus, why I don't know that. So, you know, it makes sense to end it now.
Well, it's not as high on the once Game of Thrones kind of showed up, it just kind of set that to B level.
Yep. TNT is going to launch 2 15-minute post-show web series for Dallas and Falling Skies, similar to The Talking Dead, but they're not going to air it on TV. The Falling Skies one is going to be hosted by Will Wheaton, which excites me. But here's the thing. The Talking Dead
is Will
works
Is Will Wheaton in Falling Skies?
No.
Okay. He needs a job.
Well, yeah, but also he's a good personality for it. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing is, Talking Dead works because it airs on TV. It kind of does. It does the live show thing, and if they do it right, which is airing it right after the episode of Walking Dead, it does huge numbers. I don't think a web series for Falling Skies is the best move. Or Dallas.
Or Dallas.
First of all, why you do it for Dallas? Why you do it for Dallas?
Let's see if Dallas actually works.
Exactly. Exactly. Why you do this for a show going into season one befalls me. But Falling Skies, Falling Skies could do well with a post show like The Talking Dead, but I don't think airing it as a web series is a good idea. FX has ordered 13 episodes of. Oh, you have something else to say?
No, I'm just in this weird, strange way. I agree with you.
FX has ordered 13 episodes of a Jim Jeffries sitcom Legit, about a comedian named Jim, played by Jeffries himself, and his misguided attempts to become legit, and he's going to be accompanied by his friend Steve and Steve's brother Billy, who's going to be played by DJ Qualls. I'll watch the show for DJ Qualls, but the premise does not sell me at all.
This might be too legit to quit. Is Jim Jeffries a comedian?
Yes.
So that's why he's playing a comedian.
Yes. Wonderful. Because that works. I mean, that worked once.
You know
for
what?
Seinfeld.
You know what? It literally looks like they took an episode of Louie and the jokes that are made from Louie and said, "Let's make that sitcom."
Oh my god!
Do you remember the Louie sitcom he was making in the episode of Louie?
Yes,
that's exactly
because it was Lucky Louie. He was doing mimicking Lucky Louie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it looks like they decided to do this. They said, "Let's get another one." I'm sorry. Are we gonna continue to, can we just stop it with the comedians playing comedians?
Yeah,
I mean, it worked with Seinfeld.
Yeah. I mean, even Whitney had the smarts to not do that.
Yeah.
And that was Whitney. Moving on, History's Hatfield and McCoy, starring Kevin Costner, set ratings history for basic cable, 14.6 million. That's broadcast level shit. And so for anyone that says that basic cable doesn't have the market penetration that broadcast does, there's your response to
you're
that.
Not watching the Hitler and Storage Wars network, apparently.
I know, but 14.6 million for Hatfield and McCoy, that's crazy.
What's the demos on that?
Something like 5 million for 18 to 49.
It's still not bad. It's not much, but I mean, it's not 14.5 million, but that's not bad.
Well, NBC or ABC would kill for those numbers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is crazy. Now, a lot of people said it's Kevin Costner. I'm like, when was the last time Kevin Costner did anything notable?
Now, wait, it was funny. I saw people tweeting about this, and I knew at the time, like, some crappy DVD video company was releasing a Hatfield McCoy's movie with Christian Slater, and at first I thought that's what it was. And I'm like, why are people caring about this? So wait, is this a series or was this like a miniseries?
It's a miniseries. It's a six-episode miniseries.
Okay, here's the other question. Is it actually going to be able to work as a series?
Well, it's not a series. They're not doing it. We're getting to that.
Oh, good point. There it is.
No, that's something else. We're getting to that. So the next story is that NBC, a week after the ratings season, they claim it's not connected.
Oh, just like the Justice League movie isn't connected at all to the Avengers?
NBC put into motion a modern-day Hatfield and McCoy series. It's going to be written by the guy that wrote Eagle Eye. It's going to be produced by Charlize Theron. And the project, and there's going to be a major penalty attached if they don't order a pilot. And it's going to be set in the modern setting, with the Hatfields having risen to incredible wealth and power, while the McCoys are the working class.
This looks like a bad idea raped a sitcom, a 80s primetime soap opera. And this is the child that was left behind.
It's classic Hollywood. One thing works and everyone jumps to do that one thing.
This looks awesome. This sounds terrible. I didn't even get to Charlize Theron producing. Where'd that come from? If they said George Clooney was going to produce, I'd be like, that's kind of odd. But you can sit there and be like, oh yeah, didn't he produce this and this and this? You know, he's done that. Has Charlize Theron done producing?
She has a company that's been getting into producing lately.
And she doesn't sound at all anything like, I mean, if they said we're going to do Gossip Girl 2, Electric Boogaloo, the series, Charlize Theron's going to produce, I would have been like, well, like, that makes sense. But this doesn't sound like anything that's even, and then is this Eagle Eye Runner? This isn't the John Glenn who, this is a younger John Glenn, not the John Glenn who wrote or directed the, all those James Bond movies. Is he dead?
I don't know, but I couldn't tell you, but
it's probably not the dead one.
No, but I mean, John Glenn, he was one of maybe, I think, 5 writers on Eagle Eye. So it's not like it's a big deal. That's just his notable credit.
And it was Eagle Eye, which wasn't a bad movie, but...
It wasn't a great movie,
I mean, yeah, that's like... That's just... Like, I don't
yeah, know. Just... I don't... First of all, I don't understand... What boggles my mind is I don't understand why so many people went crazy for the histories Hatfield and McCoys. I mean, it's a great thing for history. I'd love to see them do more scripted stuff, get away from the reality programming, basically do the go on the opposite track sci-fi is going on right now. But I don't want what to do. If you're gonna rip it off, just do it in period piece fashion and see how it works out. Don't try and make it modern day. I think that's gonna kill it.
Well, the modern day, it's this literally sounds like the pilot for Dallas.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. And they also did this on an episode of the Memphis show. Memphis Beat with Jason Lee last year. That was the season finale of the season that got canceled. They did this whole Hatfield and McCoys thing. Wow. So it's just, and I mean, Hatfield and McCoys have been the butt of a joke for years.
Yeah.
So So moving on. Yeah. Wes Craven Scream.
Yeah.
A TV series is in development at MTV for it. No writer is currently attached, and if Craven is involved, his name has not been dropped on it officially yet. It's because Teen Wolf worked for them, but
Teen Wolf worked because
it's not Teen Wolf.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know. I don't even know how to begin putting together a Scream TV series in my brain. I don't know what that would end up being. You say Teen Wolf, I'm like, I can see where if you say they developed a Teen Wolf before even seeing Teen Wolf the series. I could see where they could make it like the old show. They could make it like the what it turned into. I can see them. There's options. I don't even know what the options are for Scream TVs. What is it like going to be an anthology series? Is it going to be about Ghostface killing people every week?
Well, as we said, that there's no writer currently attached. So I bet you they don't even have a pitch yet. They just took a property and said, we're making a TV series out of this. Now we actually have to go do it.
Yeah, because if it has anything to do with the actual Scream property... Mm-hmm. It won't work as a series. The only way to do it would be to make it completely... At least Teen Wolf, he's a teen and he's a werewolf. I mean, there you go. Boom, boom. At least makes sense. So
I don't know where you go with this. It makes no sense. And fucking fuck you, MTV.
Yeah, it's MTV. Well, it's because MTV... Here's why. Because MTV, they tried a couple series and they kind of flopped. They tried Skins. That didn't catch on. And then they did Teen Wolf and that kind of worked. But they don't know where to go from that point. Because they're sort of like their edgy, sexy shows. None of them work, but suddenly they had access. But the reason Teen Wolf works is the same reason Vampire Diaries works. It's a teen drama.
Yep.
And it has that supernatural element, which makes it kind of cool nowadays.
And above all else, Teen Wolf has a talented writer behind it, Jeff Davis, who created Criminal Minds. So he creates very popular things when it comes to horror.
You could take the most talented writer behind Scream the TV series. I don't know what the hell you're going to get.
That too. So, I mean, I don't fucking know. And above all else, how is Wes Craven not attached to this? Isn't Wes Craven his? Like, doesn't he own this property at this point? I thought he owned it. Because he's the only one who's directed it at this point.
Well, I mean, he owns it, but, I mean, he's a businessman just like anybody else.
Oh, no, I'm saying... Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is at no point did any of these articles ever say he sold the rights or he gave the rights to MTV. Because then, even then, he'd be a de facto producer by default.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe Scream was what kind of put him back on the map after the Freddy stuff. So maybe it's a Weinstein or Dimension property. Who knows? I don't care. We're thinking way too much on this.
Yeah. You want on the next segment?
Yeah. To the Idiot Boxers, we are now in the third segment.
See, you do better than I do, and you do it more enthusiastically. I don't like.
I do a lot of things better than you do, buddy.
I'm not touching that one like your vagina.
Well, I do, but I do vaginas better than you do, baby.
No. Okay. First up in what we watched, Touch. I like the final scene of Martin and Jake meeting Amelia's mother for the first time. This idea of reinventing the show with Martin and Jake now on the run in L.A. as opposed to
Did they York. Touch?
They do touch. And but what's cool is it's the first time I watched a Kiefer Sutherland performance and didn't see Jack Bauer. Mm-hmm. He had, there's this one cool moment where they take Jake in the hospital that he's in. They take him away and they won't let Martin in to go see him. And he's like screaming, "I want to see my son. Let me see my son." And he's like crying and shit. And I didn't see Jack Bauer in that moment. And I was so happy to not see Jack Bauer.
Yeah. And it's so hard when you get defined by a character for so long.
Right. And overall, I'm happy with where season one went. We'll see where season two goes. The game moves to Fridays, but overall, I have faith. But then again, I liked Heroes season one, and that show went to shit. So,
yeah.
Moving on to a new Canadian sci-fi action drama called Continuum, starring Rachel Nichol. It's a really solid show. She's a great lead. And again, I think what's happening is Canada, with the success of Flashpoint, they want to make more shows that kind of can go across the border, which the show isn't yet. But I think they're going through that renaissance in drama that we in the U.S. went through about 5 years ago.
Well, and also Canada was always Alliance Atlantis was producing all the sci-fi like syndicated stuff, but now they're doing going for full blown broadcast.
Yeah, so I think I guarantee Continuum is gonna, as long as it's doing really well in Canada. So my guess is something like a sci-fi will pick it up. Mm-hmm. And it will start airing in the U.S., but until then, you know, you have to seek it out however you can. But overall, but as far as the show goes, very solid show, very cool premise. It's Rachel Nichols plays this future cop who gets caught in a time warp with these criminals, and they're sent back 60 years. And it's about them trying, they're trying to, you know, hide and so try and get back to a certain point because they wanted to only jump 6 years originally. It's a very cool premise, very high concept. So
is it all like Life on Mars?
I didn't see Life on Mars.
Oh, okay.
But is Life on Mars like a very futuristic and shit?
No, Life on Mars is he ends up not knowing why he gets sent back to the 70s.
Gotcha. What's cool about, well, she starts in 2020 something. Like, it's future. And what's cool, the cool sci-fi bit is that she's got this suit that can basically just jump. She wears this jumpsuit that can do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it can hack computers, and it works as a bulletproof vest, and it records everything. It's just all these cool, it's like it's an exposition machine, but it does cool shit at the same time. Yeah. So, very cool show.
I really thought Rachel Nichols got screwed with Alias. I really feel bad for her, because she basically, because Jennifer Garner, the show was about her, and then Jennifer Garner's like, "I'm going to get pregnant," and she had to disappear. And Rachel Nichols finally, they brought her in, they kind of threw her into this mix, and finally, when she finally got her footing, and she was finally becoming the star of the show, Jennifer Garner's like, "I'm back."
Mm-hmm. And then G.I. Joe, I liked her in G.I. Joe, but then, of course, they wrote everyone of those characters out. Yeah, the sequels. She's not back there now.
Except Channing Tatum, who apparently is.
Oh man, that's a whole other story for another show. But yeah, overall, but Rachel Nichols is a solid lead. She's definitely built for more of a TV role than she is for a movie role, and I like her as an ass kicking like lady cop. It's cool shit.
Yeah, I think she just hasn't been given the right. I think she could do cinema, but I just don't think she's been given the right thing yet.
Mm. You got anything?
I got one for Royal Pains. I know I hate the show.
I thought you quit the show.
I quit the show. The only reason I end up watching it is if it's kind of like we have nothing else to watch and my wife and I kind of want to watch something together. And there's none of the Blu-rays that I got to review are something she wants to see. So a lot of times we'll throw on Royal Pains. But I specifically watched it this week because there was a competitive eating storyline to it. And
oh, God.
Did you watch it?
No, but I know you. I know your history with competitive eating. So,
well, yeah, and Crazy Legs Connie was in it, and I tried. I sent him an email because Legs and I know each other, and you know, I mean, he's been on the Fat Guys show before. And you know, I knew Legs from the eating circuit and everything, so I wanted to get him on the show, but it was like last minute because we watched it like Thursday, and I sent him an email. I haven't heard back. You know, they're doing the Nathan circuit right now, but I love that. What I give Royal Pains a lot of credit. Part of it is because obviously they had some involvement with the IFOCE because they had Evan come out with with the straw type, the Carnival Barker's hat on.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have no. Have you ever seen the? Have you ever watched the Coney Island hot dog contest? No. The guy who announces it, George Shea, he always has that sort of that, you know, that old time hat that's like it's like a. It's like a straw hat, like the old thing that like a carnival barker would be like, "Hey, come on, one, come on," pointing with the cane, trying to get people to come in and see the crazy stuff. So they did do it like and it kind of felt like it had the blessing of the IFOC. And what I liked about it is every time they do a competitive eating storyline, they get not the show, but whenever a show does. They get insulting about it. They like don't understand it, and they're like, oh, and they get very judgmental about it.
And they're like, it's like, not a real sport. And
you never see when they do a boxing, when they have a boxer come on, they don't suddenly lecture you about how dangerous boxing is, even though that's so fucking dangerous. You know, so, but they said they'd be like, oh, you shouldn't eat that much, you could kill yourself, and blah, 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 and all the thing. And they just had it as, I liked the fact that they just said, okay, well, this is going to be the storyline, but we're not going to get judgmental about it. And I'm like, well, that was kind of nice. And so it was neat to see, you know, legs in it. It's a guy I know who's in the show. So
it's still a shit show, though, right?
It's not a good show, and it's stupid. I mean, it's the whole thing where Evan and Hank are at odds with each other because of decisions. And it's that whole thing of how they always have to have a feud at the end of the, or some sort of, schism at the end of the season.
Did the two of them enter the eating competition, fight against each other in hot dogs?
No. Okay, no, it was with a girl who was one of the contestants, and Donald Logue was another contestant, and he was having issues and stuff like that. So it was the same old Royal Pains, but it was just kind of neat to see it about that.
Right. Moving on, Rookie Blue. Starting off really strong, especially in the most recent episode. It was the every cop's worst nightmare. They have a possible bad shoot or a shoot at all because most cops don't fire their weapons, which is that's something Canadian shows like to do. Is they really play it where we are trying very hard not to shoot our guns, and so they have that whole storyline. They did it very well. Epstein, the guy that plays Epstein when this show is over is going to have a very good career. Yeah. And I hope he makes it over to the U.S. because I think the U.S. crowd will really dig him, especially like our circles type crowd. Okay. the slightly geeky, dorky nerd who's also a badass type thing.
As long as he doesn't like Prometheus, right?
Exactly. But here's the thing. This happened last year, too, where season two of Rookie Blue started off really strong, even though I hated season one, and then went downhill. And I really hope this doesn't happen. Like, it looks like they're taking the characters to different places. Not everyone is hooking up. Everyone that was going to coupled off at this point. So
I think the whole let's make it like Grey's Anatomy. I think the whole Grey's Anatomy setup has kind of come and gone. That was like a late 2000s, mid to late 2000s, where everyone was suddenly like, oh, let's just do the sex soap opera in whatever setting. Because they literally did Grey's Anatomy in space once. there was literally a show that takes place on a space station where it was Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my. The bad move will be because now Flashpoint's that thing. So you know Ken is gonna go through this moment of we need the new Flashpoint because that's like the hit show in Canada. So I really hope that Rookie Blue doesn't try to fill that void because I remember I had a conversation with Mark Ellis on Twitter and he said that at least one writer is leaving Flashpoint once that show ends. They're going jumping from Flashpoint to Rookie Blue. So I really hope...
They gotta work, but they gotta work.
I know they gotta work, but I really hope Rookie Blue doesn't try to fill the gap. Because then if they try to go too far in the Flashpoint direction, they're gonna fail.
Yeah, but you know, and that's the thing, but that's all networks tend to always do that. It's stupid to see them do it because they're like, when Seinfeld ended, like, what's gonna be the next Seinfeld? And so you have all these shows with so-and-so with his quirky friends, and none of them ever clicked. And when Lost ended, they're like, what's gonna be the next Lost? Let's have this. And he has movies, shows like The Event and Flash Forward that never quite made it, you know?
Right.
And it's just make a good show. And if it's a phenomenon, it's a phenomenon. Nobody was worried about Lost was not filling any void when it showed up. Grey's Anatomy wasn't filling any voids, and they're doing the same thing. What's going to be the next Grey's Anatomy?
Right.
I think they've kind of got past that. Like I said, I think that just sort of like watching trends have gone away from that.
Yep. And finally, Kevin, I have an announcement to make.
Yes.
I am 100% caught up on Cougar Town.
I'm drinking a beer. I should be drinking wine.
I should be drinking wine. Oh my god, it's so good. You know what I like is I missed the Scrubs boat because that show premiered 2002. So I was 13 when that came out, and that was right before, that was maybe 2 years before I started getting into TV.
It was probably a little bit over the head of a 13-year-old, I think.
Right. So I missed that boat. So to Cougar Town now is it's. Oh my God! So what's funny is you were right. It does, the show drastically changes. It's not like Meteor was a gradual shift into Crazy Town, where but Cougar Town it's funny. You watch the first six episodes and that's the entire arc of Jules and her young boyfriend and shit. And she breaks up with him in episode six. Episode seven, Gators. That's where Grayson's guitar is introduced. It's where she runs into an alligator in her backyard and there's the full Shawshank experience.
Yeah.
Element. So, I mean, that's where they said, and I think it's that everyone keeps saying it's like it was a crap show before then. And I think it's more of Bill Lawrence said, you know what, this is working now. 2 years from now, we're going to hate ourselves. So let's change it now so we don't get to 2 years from now and then hate the show. But it took me a while to decide who was my favorite character. It's Grayson. It was a toss up between Trav and Grayson because Trav is hysterical. But if I had
Trav gets on my nerves sometimes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, how come? How come?
He's just a little bit of a douche.
Okay.
But he reminds me of you.
But I'll tell you this: if I had to pick one character to pluck out of that show and stick him in real life, it'd be Bobby. Because don't you want a Bobby just around you at all times?
Don't you want to just go drinking with Bobby Cobb? And the thing is, I love Bobby. I like Bobby and Andy. I think Andy is.
Oh yeah, great
his man crush on him.
Yeah,
is they well, and this is why actually Bill Lawrence is a brilliant showrunner because he started doing it and he realized, like you said, he realized what was working, and then he said, okay, let's just make it about that. Let's just keep doing more of what works. And to hell with them. And then, like, the naming thing, they just keep the joke on the title card every week is hilarious. Yeah. Well, the one, you saw the season three finale where they're like, we hope this isn't the series finale.
But what's funny is it's like Community. It ends on a note where it could have been the series finale and worked.
Did you enjoy watching the Abed cameo?
I did enjoy watching the Abed cameo, but I also like now, because if you watch the season two finale of Community, Trav and Lori show up at the end of the paintball fight.
Yeah, they're cheering in the background. Yeah,
yeah, so that blew my mind once I realized who they were. So that was, I love how like the shows get meta, because like that show references that, but then like there's stuff in Community.
Oh yeah, why is there no pictures of us at Christmas? That one?
Yeah, it's such a lovely show. And then I loved also, I got up to, at the start of season three, they do the Scrubs reference. Mm-hmm. Well, first, I love how now they did the crossover where they have the lawyer, Ted, show
Ted,
up.
Ted, yeah.
Yeah, Ted shows up at the end of season two. So now, and it's Ted, it's not the actor playing another guy. So then he gets to the start of season three and they have that one moment at the end where now it's, what's her face shows up.
Well, yeah, because Sarah Chalk was dating Bobby. And so he shows up and then of course the guy who played Bob Kelso shows up as her dad.
Yes.
And he's like, everybody I know. And the other thing is, because I don't know if you knew this, the guy who plays who's Bob Clendenin? What's her friend, the guy, the neurosurgeon who's literally
who sits high-fives outside everyone? There.
No, the guy who lives next door to Jules.
Oh, Ted. Is it Ted?
No, it's not Ted. Whatever his name is, but he's the guy, and he's a neurosurgeon in the hospital. He used to have a bit part on Scrubs.
I knew he looked familiar. I wasn't sure if he was Scrubs though.
He's done well. He does everything. He shows up on everything. He's actually from Columbus area. Great guy. I interviewed him once. He is hilarious. But he is. But he used to be on Scrubs, so that's why he kept seeing all these people. Ted started seeing all these people that he's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm living my old life.
And then Zach Braff shows up as a pizza guy, and then the guy that high-fives everyone shows up.
And Todd, and that's Todd. Yeah, right. Todd shows up to high-five. Right.
So that was great. Now, here's the my only, there's two things.
Because the other thing is Courtney Cox had a bit part, had an arc in Scrubs as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she had like a five-episode arc in Scrubs. Mm.
There's two things I want to say. First of all, I like to think of the show as a pseudo crazy sequel to the Drew Carey show, because Ellie and Andy
Yeah.
They played Kate and Larry and creepy Larry on the Drew Carey Show.
Yeah.
And then Kate left the show, and then Larry had bit appearances, and it was one of those relationships where Larry would always pop in and everyone would be like, dude, go the fuck away. It was like Neighbor Guy in Cougar Town. That's the character he played. So I like to think that maybe they got together, changed their names, and ran off to Florida.
Well, and you know, here's the thing. There was only one. Occasionally, there's a wrinkle in it, and the only wrinkle that I had is there was the episode where, and I know why they did it, where Nia Vardalos who's really Ian Gomez's wife, the girl from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where she showed up in it, and it was just like, oh, now you're just, because she's a terrible actor, and they just put her in because they had the fun. but it is fun. It's a lark of a show, and it doesn't try to get too serious.
No.
When it does try to get too serious, it does kind of lose its footing a bit, but overall, it's a great show.
Something that I have to note, though, is I don't think they understand where Ellie's line is, because there are points where – there are times where she's just being Ellie and just kind of being a little mean or very mean, but then there's times where she's literally destructive.
Oh, she's an evil person. Well, and I don't know. Did you notice this? Like in like the when they finally found their footing in season one, and then going into season two, it was a meaner show. I mean, they were all awful, horrible people, but they found a way to find what's lovable about them.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time that they really, really falters is when you've got like Ellie dealing with her son, because she is an awful mom.
Yeah,
you know, and then.
Wait, and then that on the stand, his name is Stan. On the stand note, it's like Modern Family and Cuddy's kid on House. Between seasons two and three, that kid must have been taking HGH or something, because then he's talking in full sentences and he's talking in wit. That kid can't do that. But what I do like also is they don't even try to play the will they, won't they game with Jules and Grayson. Like, end of season one, they hook up. Season two is about the relationship. Season three is about them getting married. And at no point do they break up either.
Yeah, and that's what I like. And I think that Bill Lawrence learned his lesson with that on Scrubs, because it was originally with JD and JD and Elliot, which was Zach Braff and Sarah Chalk.
Right.
And like they liked each other, and then they got together, and then they broke up, and then then finally he got to a point in one of the seasons, I forget which one it was, and he said, no, we just need to kill this. And he just killed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like they were done. Mm-hmm. And so then, like later on, like as the series ended, they eventually did get back together, but that was because the series was ending.
Right.
And it was one of those things where it's like, he's like, no, I don't want to do the Cheers thing. Will they, won't they? Yeah. So.
See,
I like that. I like that because the fact you don't want them, because that's just stupid to have characters that they're doing that a little bit with Travis and Laurie, though.
Right. Well, yeah, but it feels more natural with Travis and Laurie because they're not the leads of the show. They're not the leads of the show, so you can do that.
You like a Tums?
You can do that, and it's not that big of a deal because they're side characters. And they do have that bit at the end where she goes, I love you, and he goes, or no, he says, I love you, and she goes, I love you too. They mouth it. In the season finale. So, we'll see where it goes, but it doesn't feel as intrusive as if Jules and Grayson were playing it.
Yeah. Well, and also, it's an awkward thing for Laurie to start banging her ex, or now ex-boss's kid. Right.
Well, in season one, she does say, do you want me to take this virginity? I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
the last thing I'll say before we move on to the final segment is, did you notice how everything that's not nailed down in Jules's living room could double as a wine glass?
Yeah.
The lamp, the things that sit on her tables, they all could double as something you could pour wine into.
Well, the other thing, like Big Carl, when they got Big Carl, that's a big bottle of wine will fit in that glass.
Yes.
That's like a liter and a half size glass. You can't drink more. If you drink one of those and be Courtney Cox's size, who she's like, what, a size zero?
I don't know.
She'd be dead.
Yes.
But no, it is fun, though. I do drink wine when I watch the show. It's fun.
I'll start drinking grape juice.
There you go.
Let's do the final segment. And welcome back to the Idiot Boxers, and you know, in our final segment.
What was that? Because you were startled. Saying,
I was being choked out by the life force of the xenomorph.
Well, yeah. I'd rather be choked out by Noomi Rapace, but that's just me. Isn't she she's just adorable. You just kind of want to like, put her in
She's
your
adorable
pocket.
Until a very specific scene in Prometheus, then maybe not so much.
I mean, she's not like unattractive in there. It's just, you know, you want to comfort her and hug her. And then push her head down to your lap.
I'm not going near this one. Nope. I'm not falling for this trap. Sound off. I do have one. It's the sudden and extremely rapid rise of quality web series content.
Oh, I thought it was the big. I thought it was a sudden and extremely rapid rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Remember, you know, we've talked about it for a while now. The Chris Hardwick Nerdist thing was launching. Kevin Smith was doing his stuff, and then this guy Freddie Wong. I talked about VGHS. What's interesting is it's all happened when we were announcing it. We didn't know what it was going to be, and so all this stuff has launched now within the last month or two. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how good it is. And Nerdist gets Celebrity Bowling, Indoor Kids, Andy Cole with Harry Knowles, and this Magic Melt Magic Show. Then with Kevin Smith, you got his sit. You got Spoilers, which actually really pretty good. And I said on Twitter, it's like an ante at the movies, which it is. And it really kind of it fits. It's not at all what they kept writing it was.
Yeah.
Which is like it's a review show. It's not a review show at all. It's like an ante at the movies, which is kind of cool. So there's just like the marketing for the sake of to get word out. It was just a shitty marketing move.
Yeah.
But then VGHS, you have this thing where they did this 80s throwback episode, one of the best things I've seen all year. And it was just so, well, what's amazing is it's all very high quality. And I think that we're at that place where, I mean, and I know your next thing is like, it's all about, you have to be able to watch on your TV. We're there. But I think it's more about, this is more about for people who like watching their couch on their iPad.
This is not, I still stand by the whole TV thing, but I think that, They're finding a viability of the web sources. The web is getting much more video enabled, and I think that that's what people are jumping on. It's basically what podcasting really, really became viable in the sort of like 2006, 2007. That, I think, was an explosion on that, and you're just seeing the back. It's the same thing when you had music downloading, and now you got video downloading, and you just, it's just following the same format, and I think you're seeing web series, because it used to be web series used to be very limited and not all that enjoyable. The only thing that's the problem with web content in video form is getting the advertising right, because it's ridiculous to have to sit through 2 minutes of advertising for a 5 minute episode or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse yet, if there's like a trailer and you want to watch a 2 minute trailer and there's 3 minutes of ads, it's fucking retarded.
Right. Well, what's nice about these are,
I apologize for the use of that word, by the way.
It's cool. And this is lengthy content. Like, Spoilers, it's a full-on half-hour, 22-24-minute program.
Yeah.
Celebrity Bowling, and at minimum, the shortest one, I think, has been 10 minutes. The Freddie Wong thing, the longest one so far, has been closer to 20. And that guy's doing it on a a $20,000 budget, some very cheap budget. And so, like, this is actually long-form content.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the idea of it being 2 minutes of advertising, that's not a big deal if you're going in for a 20-minute program.
As long as it doesn't duplicate advertising, which can get annoying. Because where streaming originally started, where they were streaming TV shows, like ABC.com would stream them, they actually worked out really good. And now they overload it with ads and shit like that, and they over-advertise because they worried that they're losing viewers. No, just make it comfortable to watch. And I think you're right. The iPads, I think tablet technology is really pushing the envelope on this.
I actually tried it, and I may start doing it a little more. I start watching some stuff on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm in the toilet or something, I watch on my phone. And you know what? Like, for content like this, which is built for the idea of there is no screen.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one screen. It works for it. So I'm actually very excited with where we are now. And it's content where no one's getting permission. It's just go fucking do it.
Yeah.
And I also think we're 2 years away from
podcast. Yeah.
Right, and again, also with podcasts, is now we're at the stage now for podcasts, you can make a radio sounding quality podcast for under $100.
Easily.
And I think we're, because of the rule of Moore's Law, I think we're maybe 2 years away from getting to there with video content.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
So, yep. So, what you got on DVD?
A whole bunch of stuff. There's all these cable things. Part of it's shows that have ended, but more importantly, the ones that are coming back. Let's just, you know, there's a whole bunch of USA shows. You got Royal Pain season 3. You've got White Collar season 3 and Burn Notice season 5. Both of those kind of come together. Those are sort of sister shows. And you also have Necessary Roughness season 1. You have In Plain Sight season 4. Those are all USA shows. You've got True Blood from HBO season 4. Rookie Blue season 2, Drop Dead Diva season 3, Breaking Bad season 4, that one just ended, as opposed to getting ready to start up Curb Your Enthusiasm, I think season 8.
No, Breaking Bad's starting up.
Is Breaking Bad starting up again? I thought it...
Yeah, they're starting up in July.
All right. Then you also have Pretty Little Liars season 2, and Heartland season 2, and there's also, well, this would be my stinker, but I know you like the show, so Falling Skies season 1.
Okay, now first of all, I know for a fact that you hated Burn Notice season 5 way more than you hated Falling Skies season 1.
I watched Burn Notice. I stopped watching Falling Skies. There's the difference. Burn Notice, as long as Jesse is not in it, Burn Notice is fine.
Which now he's in the main title sequence.
Yeah. So. Well.
Oh well. They're coming back this week. I'm excited.
I know. We'll see what happens.
We will. Finally, recommendation. Is that it for DVD?
Yeah, that's it.
Recommendation is Lights Out, the boxing show I was talking about last year's app, because now there's a whole boxing controversy. Apparently, boxing might be rigged. Shocker. So I'm gonna
what? Don King's behind something that might be rigged and dishonest?
So
don't worry. So you watch Lights Out and like you know, in the time it takes to take a nap. Well, it's six episodes, right?
It's 13 episodes, but it ends on a note that makes it work as a miniseries, like a one season in and out type thing.
That is your
but it's
thing.
All on Netflix. All 13 episodes on Netflix. Go check it out. I think that does it.
That is it.
I'm done yelling at people for now.
Okay. Well, we are done, and we'll get you guys in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, start watching the TV shows.
In the meantime, I'm gonna go impregnate some aliens. But in the end, I know you know. Like the show you just heard? Then head on over to FatGuysAtTheMovies.com to hear more. Fat Guys Network flagship show, Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. The Idiot Boxers with Kevin and Merrill. Celluloid Spotlight with Merrill and Hash. And if you like any of what you hear, kick us a few bucks using the donation button on the sidebar. Or just leave us an iTunes review. Fat Guys Network is where the ooey gooey podcasting goodness is at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.